Welcome to the Living Healthy Podcast, a podcast dedicated to health, fitness, exercise, medicine, diet, nutrition, as well as eating clean, organic, and non-GMO foods. Let's live the journey through weight loss, weight management, and accomplishing goals. I'm your host, Eddie Randall. Thank you for tuning in to Season 4, Episode 1 of the Living Healthy Podcast. Your continued listening and your continued support are greatly appreciated. Please feel free to check out the latest merchandise at the Living Healthy Podcast store. The link is in the description of the podcast. It's 2024. Happy New Year to you and your family. I'm blessed to bring you Season 4 of the Living Healthy Podcast. With a new year comes new goals, lifestyle changes, and planning for the future. One of the biggest goals involves weight loss. Fasting is a great way to shed some of those unwanted pounds. Fasting is more than a religious tenet. It's also a great way to get you back on track to losing that excess weight. In addition, fasting detoxifies your body and resets your immune system. I felt motivated to present this podcast topic as I'm always fascinated by our bodies and how intricate and complex they are. Fasting is one of the healthiest things that you can do. We are all guilty of eating things that are not the healthiest for us, and we live in a culture where we have all we ever want whenever we want it. Processed food and snack manufacturers put unnecessary sugar and salt in foods to make them appeal to our taste buds and form little addictions. There are reward centers in the brain that release dopamine and serotonin when we consume comfort foods. This also includes processed foods, refined sugars, and snack foods. Manufacturers have product development teams to come up with ideas for food, scientists to come up with desired flavors packed with sugar and salt to make you like it, and marketing teams to convince you to buy it. Having any kind of food imaginable at your fingertips, coupled with the unnecessary sugar and salt added to them, is a recipe that continues to contribute to obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. The key is learning to make better food choices as well as fasting. This helps to get your body back on track. We have to get it in our minds that eating is a small part of life, not the reason for life. We have to learn to eat to live, not live to eat. The simplest way to work on those fitness goals is by fasting. There's a correct way to fast in regard to weight loss and weight management. Without proper planning and guidance, there will be no progress or steps taken that will achieve the desired goal. Tonight, I will be discussing fasting, the correct way to do it, ways you can do it, as well as the benefits that can be achieved. Tonight's podcast is entitled, The Do's and Don'ts of Fasting, Combating Obesity and Weight Management. What happens to your body when you fast? When you fast, your body turns to the fat that is stored in the body. It is ideal to do this short-term, as long-term fasting can lead to problems like nutrient deficiency and burning muscle. Like all things, to gain the maximum effort, fasting must be done properly. In the everyday struggle to stay thin and healthy, fasting is perhaps the simplest, easiest, and cost-effective thing to do in order to bolster health and lose weight. This is the usual scenario and how it unfolds. When BMI increases, cholesterol levels spike, and prediabetes can be diagnosed. Some doctors promote losing weight naturally through diet, exercise, and even fasting, but most of them don't. They would more or less prescribe something and have you follow up with blood work in 6 months. I'm not talking bad about doctors. They want to treat us to the best of their ability, as they have a legal obligation rooted in federal and HIPAA laws, as well as a human moral conscience. In addition, most of us would probably butt heads with our doctor if he or she would recommend something that would take us out of our comfort zone, such as exercise or diet. Surprisingly, most people would want a pill so they can continue to eat what they want, just so they can enjoy their lives, even though what they're eating could potentially shorten their lives. But some doctors, including those who embrace holistic health, urge their patients to fast as part of their treatment. There's an article on NIH called The Effect of Fasting on Human Metabolism and Psychological Health. It is by Wang and Wu. They state that most of the older medical schools throughout Europe teach their students to encourage fasting as a part of treatment when the patient's health allows it. There are four phases that the body goes through when you fast. They are the anabolic phase, catabolic phase, fat burning phase, and then finally the autophagy phase. The first phase is the anabolic phase, also known as the growth phase. This takes place during the first hours after we eat. Food is broken down and the pancreas is secreting insulin. It removes glucose from the blood and converts it to glycogen. I'll go into detail a little later on in the podcast in regard to glycogen. Insulin helps your body to turn food into energy and uses it or stores it depending on your body's current needs. Signals are also being sent to the brain to tell you that you're now full. The catabolic phase is a second phase, and it starts 4 to 12 hours after eating. This is also known as the fed state, and your blood glucose levels will begin to stabilize. At about 8 hours in, the body begins to take stored glycogen and starts breaking it down. Glucagon is secreted to help break down the stored glycogen into glucose so your body can use it. 12 hours after you eat, if you don't immediately eat again, your body will begin breaking down stored glycogen to help power your body's cellular processes. 12 to 14 hours after you've eaten, the next stage is the fat burning stage. Your body also begins ketosis. Here, your body starts to burn fat because the stored glycogen has been used up. Our bodies make ketones, which come from fatty acids that are stored in the liver. How soon your body starts to break them down depends on how many carbohydrates you've had, as well as the type of carbohydrate. So this is how it works. If you eat a lot of carbs and processed foods, your blood sugar will spike. In turn, the pancreas has to secrete enough insulin to use the amount of glucose in your blood. After eating heavy carbs and processed foods, your blood sugar spikes and then drops suddenly due to the body putting out too much insulin. This also makes you feel as if you're hungry a lot sooner. This is a sort of like that sugar crash that you feel when you overeat during Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. You get a little sleepy after eating and doze off or become very relaxed. The end result, and perhaps the most important part, is that elevated blood glucose prevents the body from ever getting the opportunity to get to the fat burning stage. I'll go into the best kind of carbs to eat to burn fat a little later on in the podcast. 14 to 20 hours after you've eaten, the maximum amount of fat is consumed and your insulin sensitivity drastically improves. This is kind of like resetting your pancreas, so to speak. At around this time, your body begins the autophagy phase. Your body reuses what it can from cells and the body begins to clean itself out. Ketosis, that was started during the fat burning stage, is ramped up here and your cravings for food become significantly easier to handle. I'll go into detail about this later in the podcast. 48 hours in is where most people should stop. If you go longer than that, your body will start to break down muscle. At 72 hours, autophagy will no longer take place, and indeed you will start to break down muscle. But before you commit to any type of fasting plan, please consult your PCP for a fasting plan that will accommodate your health and goals. I'll get into the fasting plans a little later on in the podcast. Glucose from the food we eat is broken down by the body in a process called glycolysis. I'll touch on it briefly as it is important in understanding how this process takes place in regard to eating and fasting. This is how our body makes energy for cell processes and takes place in the cytosol of the cells. Glycolysis consists of two phases, and in the first phase, energy is actually used to convert glucose into glyceraldehyde-3-phosphate. In the second phase, glyceraldehyde-3-phosphate is converted into pyruvate, and energy is actually produced here. Glucose is a 6-carbon compound, and it's broken down into 2 molecules of pyruvate. Each pyruvate will contain 3 carbons. This interaction releases energy in the form of ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and NADH, which is nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. The end reaction consists of consuming 2 ATP molecules, producing 4 ATP, 2 NADH, and 2 pyruvates. It is way more complex than this, but I'm listing it briefly as this process takes place when we eat, as this is how our body breaks down what we consume. The benefits of fasting. As I mentioned, the immune system resets during fasting. When we fast, our bodies try to conserve energy. This includes regenerating cells involved in the function of the immune system. Old cells and damaged cells are lysed or killed off, and regeneration of new cells begins. These cells include monocytes. Monocytes are white blood cells that turn into macrophages when they migrate to parts of the body to deal with infection and disease. There's an article on NIH.gov by Janssen, Kales, Liu, and several others called "Monocytes Reenter the Bone Marrow During Fasting and Alter the Host Response to Infection." In their study, they found that when fasting, the white blood cells go back to the bone marrow where their lifespan is prolonged, and in addition, energy is conserved. These same monocytes create cytokines, which create inflammation. This inflammatory response is normal and necessary to deal with foreign tissue, viruses, bacteria, and other pathogens in the body. However, too much inflammation or repeated inflammation can lead to diseases and debilitating illnesses. Fasting also limits inflammation, which is part of the immune system's function. The pancreas benefits from fasting as well. After all, the pancreas secretes insulin every single time we eat something. In addition to other comorbidities, what causes type 2 diabetes is wearing out the organ by constantly eating and eating foods that spike blood glucose levels. It's like waking up every few hours because you're in pain. You'll not be able to get a good night's sleep if you're waking up every few hours, and you won't be able to function properly. So if your pancreas does not get a chance to rest, inflammation can occur, leading to other illnesses. Cellular processes are always at work, but if they do not get a chance to rest or reset, over time, damage can occur. There's an article on PubMed by Cheng, Villani, and Buono called "Fasting Mimicking Diet Promotes NGN3-Driven Beta Cell Regeneration to Reverse Diabetes." They conducted a study where they took mice and put them on a diet that mimicked fasting. They determined that the pancreatic cells began to restore insulin in the test subjects. Now, I know I was talking about straight up fasting and not eating, but there are fasting plans that I will get into a little later on in the podcast. There is fasting where you don't eat for 2 to 3 days, and there are versions of intermittent fasting. That being said, in regard to the study with the mice, I want to stress this. If you have already been diagnosed with diabetes, whether it be type 1 or type 2, and you're being treated by a healthcare provider, do not stop taking your medication and just start to fast in order to treat yourself. Do some research, get with your doctor, and talk to them. You know, when you see a commercial for a drug and after listing the side effects, they say, ask your doctor if name of drug is right for you. So talk to your doctor about fasting in regard to your current health for directive. Do not try to treat yourself without consulting your doctor. I want to thank you for supporting me by listening to the Living Healthy Podcast. My podcast is listed on many platforms, including Anchor, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many, many others. Please follow me on Tumblr, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, and Rumble. If you have any questions or topics you'd like me to cover, please don't hesitate to ask. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please contact me at livinghealthy@gmail.com. In addition, please check out the Living Healthy Podcast store. The link is in the description of the podcast. And now back to the show. As we all know, our metabolism slows as we age. But did you know that fasting actually helps to increase your metabolism? Although energy is conserved when you fast, glucose is not available from food. And as I was mentioning earlier, the body gets glucose from other sources in the body. This comes from glucose stored in your liver and other tissues. The process of getting glucose from the liver and other tissues is called gluconeogenesis. Gluconeogenesis takes a lot of energy, and this is what speeds up your metabolism, even if it's by a small amount. Human growth hormone is also produced in a greater number when fasting, and this hormone also helps to boost your metabolism. Fasting also benefits your heart. Blood pressure decreases, and so does cholesterol levels, resulting in improvement of cardiovascular health. Fasting lowers blood pressure through loss of sodium. Sodium is lost by drinking lots of water. So stay hydrated while fasting in order to help flush excess sodium from your system. Depending on the fasting plan that you choose, and I'll go over them shortly, you could incorporate potassium-rich foods to help to eliminate and balance excess salt in the body. This is in regard to the sodium-potassium ATP pace pump that's found in the membrane of all our cells. It's an enzyme that helps to regulate sodium and potassium, which is necessary for cellular functions. If you eat too much salt, your kidneys hold on to water as the kidneys try to keep balance of salt and water. This results in water weight gain. When you drink water while fasting, as no additional salt is coming in, you can help to remove the excess sodium from your body. This is why it's important to not fast for longer than 2 to 3 days without any food. You could cause an electrolyte imbalance, which could result in fatigue, headaches, diarrhea, cramping, and nausea. Fasting helps to shed the pounds as the body goes into ketosis. Now, this is where the body burns fat instead of glucose for energy. Depending on the fasting plan you choose, you can lose around 2 to 3 pounds in 7 days. There's no perfect real-world scenario, so the weight loss I just mentioned would be in conjunction to sticking to your fasting plan as well as exercising. Fasting affects the brain as well. Fasting increases brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This is a protein in the brain that increases when our brain is challenged. This protein increases when we try to solve things, figure something out, exercise, learn a language, and as I mentioned, when we fast. The protein increases alertness, strengthens current neural pathways, and creates new neural connections. This protein is linked to intelligence and cognition. So as you can see, fasting does more than just help to shed pounds. It's like hitting a reset button when things go awry, or a way to help reverse, limit, or prevent illness. Fasting plans. There are several fasting plans to choose from. This boils down to the individual's current health and goals. 16-8 is the first plan I'll cover, and this is the one that people find the easiest to follow. Intermittent 16-8 fasting involves limiting your food choices to an 8-hour window and then only drinking water or a non-calorie beverage for the next 16 hours. Some people can do this daily, for a week or for a month. It all depends on what you want to do. The next plan is 5-2. Now for this plan, you eat normally for 5 days a week, then the remaining 2 days, women would limit their calories to 500 per day, and men would limit their calories to 600 per day. Next is the eat, stop, eat plan. Now, with this plan, you fast for 2 days a week, so for 48 hours. then you can eat normally for the other 5 days. You can even break the days up if you want to, so you could eat normally Sunday through Tuesday. On Wednesday you would fast, then you eat again on Friday, and then fast on Saturday. Next is the 24 fasting plan. Now with this one, you can eat in a 4-hour window during the day and fast for 20 hours. As with the other plans, you eat what you want, but here you select a 4-hour period within the day to eat. Obviously, it's highly encouraged to eat normal, low-fat, and healthy carb meals. Now for this next plan, it's called the one meal a day plan, or the 23-1 plan. Now with this type of fasting, you set aside 1 hour a day for a meal while fasting the other 23 hours. With this plan, you have a greater chance of losing weight rapidly due to not consuming food for a longer period of time. There is fasting, where some people go 3 days or sometimes a week or even more, drinking only lemon juice and water, or lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup and water. Now, this is more commonly known as a cleanse, but I've seen a lot of people refer to it as fasting. Now remember, I mentioned going 2 to 3 days without food is not really a good idea. Your body will begin to break down muscle, and there will be an electrolyte imbalance, and other things can occur. So I would not really regard that type of, or this type of fasting as safe. I also wanted to mention therapeutic fasting. There was a German doctor by the name of Otto Bühlinger who treated himself for inflammation and developed a clinic that approaches healing the body holistically, which involves fasting. The facility is in Germany, and there's also one in Spain. It's called Bühlinger Willemi. There are doctors and nurses there who work with you and provide a fasting plan based on your health and medical history. It entails organic meals, juices, and teas. You can do a lot more than just fast, as they have activities and gorgeous scenery. I'm not being paid by them to talk about this. I ran across this when researching fasting, and I spent a good deal of time on their website as well as their YouTube channel finding out about therapeutic fasting. I'll provide a link in the description of the podcast if you're interested in checking them out. If anyone is planning to visit Europe, or if you're listening to me from Europe, you can check them out. What can you eat and drink while fasting? While fasting during the hour or hours when you're permitted to eat, you could eat what you normally would. However, I would strongly recommend eating low-calorie meals that would benefit you the best. Be mindful of what you eat, because you don't want to overconsume or fill up on high-calorie foods, making it difficult to reset or lose weight while fasting. You could eat eggs, lean turkey, chicken, fish, and beef. Just make sure that all the meats are lean and, of course, organic. Fruits can include apples, bananas, kiwi, strawberries, oranges, grapes, plums, grapefruit, and cantaloupe, to name a few. Vegetables could include peas, kale, spinach, sweet potatoes, carrots, collard greens, Brussels sprouts, avocado, and broccoli. Grains are also important, as they have a high fiber content, and this will allow you to feel fuller longer. Whole grains include brown rice, whole wheat bread, and whole wheat pasta. You can drink milk, water, coffee, and tea with milk and sugar. Avoid ice cream, but you can have low-fat yogurt. In regard to fasting, earlier I had mentioned getting rid of excess salt. One way to help to accomplish this is to obviously cut down or do without salt. There are foods that you can eat that can help remove excess salt by balancing the salt content in your body. This includes foods that contain a good amount of potassium. Some of these foods are bananas, potatoes, sweet potatoes, kale, and avocados. In regard to eating certain foods that burn fat, carbs often get a bad rap in regard to weight gain. However, there are healthy carbs that actually help to burn fat. This includes whole wheat bread, potatoes, sweet potatoes, oatmeal, chickpeas, kidney beans, lentils, black-eyed peas, split peas, and peanuts. These carbs are unrefined and can help you to lose weight due to their fiber content. When you're actually fasting, this is outside of the designated hour or hours to eat and drink. You can drink plenty of water, carbonated water, or mineral water. In addition, you can have tea and coffee without milk and sugar. If you want, you can squeeze some lemon juice and add a teaspoon to 16 ounces of water and drink that throughout the day. As long as you're not cheating and you are fasting, you will see results. You have the opportunity to lose weight and improve your overall health. And if you get tempted and become weak, pray and try to drink some water, lemon water or coffee. If you end up eating something, forgive yourself and start over. It's not easy, but the hardest step you will take is the decision to fast. And you will be surprised once you start doing this, as for a couple of days, you will realize that the temptation to eat will pass. The weight will eventually come off, your health will improve, and you will find that you're not hungry or as hungry as you used to be. That's going to do it for episode 1 of season 4 of the Living Healthy Podcast. I hope you found this podcast informative, beneficial, and I hope that I have motivated you to make the decision that you'd like to make. Thank you for your support, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. Remember, living healthy creates a better you.